Chapter 30.
You can't,
I said. I shot a glance over to home plate, but the archive apparently hadn't noticed anything amiss. My will wavered, and the Mordite sphere bobbed back and forth.
They'll hear the shot. They'll kill you.
Quite possibly, he agreed. As I said, I am prepared to accept that.
His words chilled me, and the Mordite sphere darted at my head. I caught it a couple of feet from me and held it, but just barely.
I told you, Dresden, there's only one way this can end. I would have preferred an honorable demise for you, but any death will do.
I stared at the hidden gun. A dot of bright scarlet light appeared on Ortega's chest and tracked slowly up. My expression must have changed because Ortega glanced down too. The bright pinpoint of the laser sight settled over his heart and became still. Ortega's eyes widened and his expression twisted into fury. A lot of things happened at once. There was a hissing sound, a thump, and a big section of Ortega's chest dented in. Scarlet sprayed out behind him. An instant later, a booming sound, much deeper than the crack of a rifle, echoed around the stadium. Ortega let out a screech that went off the high end of the scale. Fire erupted from the hidden gun, burning through Ortega's flesh mask and shirt to reveal the muzzle of a small caliber revolver clenched in an inhuman black hand. The bullet Ortega had taken had half twisted him, and he missed. I thought hanging around to let him try again was a bad idea, so I threw myself to one side and gave the Mordite sphere another shove. Ortega dodged the Mordite, and even wounded, he was fast. A bright red dot appeared on his thigh for a half a second, and with another hiss, thump, boom, the unseen gunman hit him again. I heard the bones of Ortega's leg break. Susan threw my staff and rod to me and leapt for Ortega, grabbing his free arm and twisting as if to throw him. Instead, the vampire writhed weirdly, and she wound up tearing the flesh mask from him, peeling it away like a banana skin to reveal the slime, slick, flabby-bodied creature beneath it, the true Ortega. He still held the gun, though, and he turned to shoot at me again. I screamed,
Vinta Servitas!
At the top of my lungs, throwing my will at the dirt of the pitcher's mound, it whirled up into a miniature cyclone of fine brown soil, forcing the vampire to turn its head and shield its eyes. The second shot went wild as well, and I scrambled to get my blasting rod. The flying dirt slowed her down, but Susan still went for Ortega's gun hand. It was a mistake. Even with only one leg to support him, Ortega screeched again, twisted, and flung Susan from the pitcher's mound into the third row of seats behind first base. She hit with bone-breaking force and dropped out of sight. Sudden screeches filled the air, and I looked up to see as many as a dozen of the Red Court, revealed in their true forms, coming into the stadium. Some climbed over the walls, some jumped in from the upper levels, and some came bursting out of private boxes in showers of exploding glass. I spun toward Ortega, lifting my blasting rod, rammed my will through it, and shouted,
Fuego!
A jet of flame as thick as my arm roared at him, but one of the incoming vampires hit him at the shoulder, dragging him out of the line of fire. The newcomer was set alight, though, greasy skin going up like a bonfire, and it screamed hideously as it burned. I sensed movement behind me and turned to find Kincaid dashing across the ground. He scooped up the archive and raced for one of the dugouts. One of the Red Court vamps got in his way. Kincaid's arm blurred, a semi-automatic appearing in it, and without missing a step, he put two shots neatly between the vampire's eyes. The vampire started to fall, and as he went by it, Kincaid pumped another half dozen shots into its belly, which erupted in a messy shower of scarlet and left the vampire screaming and thrashing weakly on the ground.
Harry, look out!
Thomas screamed. I didn't look out. I figured on the worst and leapt forward. I heard a vampire hiss as it missed me, and it came rushing up behind me. I turned and unleashed another gout of fire from my blasting rod, but missed. The vampire closed on me, spraying venomous saliva into my face. I'd been hit with vampire venom before, and the stuff worked fast, particularly in large amounts. But I'd taken the potion to block it, and all this did was make me itch. I used the time while the vampire sprayed me to prepare another blast and unleashed the strike with the rod pressed against the vamp's flabby body. It scorched a wound in the vampire's belly the size of my fist and blew a 2-foot hole in the creature's back. The vampire went into weak spasms, and I kicked it off me, rising. 7 or 8 vampires were within 50 feet of me and coming fast. Thomas sprinted toward me, a knife gleaming in his hand, and hit one of the vamps from behind. He cut open the vampire's belly with a single slice, and the creature collapsed to the ground.
Harry, get out!
No, I shouted. Get Susan out of here! Thomas gritted his teeth but changed course. He leapt up onto the first base dugout and hopped neatly over the rail into the stands. No help there, and there wasn't time to look for options. I crouched and concentrated, chanting, "Defendre, defendre," in a steady litany. It was difficult to do without my shield bracelet to focus it, but I brought up all the defensive energy I could manage in a dome around me. The vampires hit it, slamming against it in mindless, shrieking rage. Any one of them could have flipped my car over lengthwise with only a little effort. Their blows against the shield could have crushed concrete within seconds, and I knew I was not going to be able to hold the defense in place for long. Once it went down, they were going to literally tear me limb from limb. I gave the shield my all and felt them slowly breaking it down. Then there was a roar and a flash of brilliant light. A jet of fire streaked over me and took one of the vampires full on in the head. It burst into flame, screaming and waving its 2 thin arms, and went down onto the field, thrashing like a half-crushed bug. My shield collapsed, overloaded, and the bracelet began burning my wrist. I crouched lower. Another jet of fire went by, incinerating the head of another vampire. All of them stopped, crouching, shrieking in confusion. Kincaid stood outside the dugout and dropped a smoking shotgun to the ground. He reached into a golf bag next to him, smooth and professional, and drew out another double-barreled shotgun. One of the vampires leapt at him, but Kincaid was too fast. He pulled the trigger and the shotgun roared. A jet of flame streaked out and went through the vampire, taking this one in the neck, and continuing to the right field fence where it blew a hole the size of my face in the wall. There was a sound behind him, and Kincaid spun to shoot the other barrel at a vampire bounding down through the stands above the third base dugout.